path along life's highway. So common and well trod by the shoes of burdened Christians who won't put their trust in God.
Welcome to The Liberating Secret with your host, author, and teacher, Sylvia Pierce. The Liberating Secret is dedicated to revealing the mystery of the gospel, which is Christ in you, the only hope of glory. Let's join Sylvia Pierce for today's lesson.
He died and rose again to set me free.
Welcome to The Liberating Secret. My name is Sylvia Pierce. So glad to be with you again today. I'm going through the book of Colossians. I'm in still in the first chapter, my goodness. Well, there's a lot to say because, like I always say, this is so meaty. Only four chapters, just full of spirit revelation. So, I mean, you can never, you know, anytime I read the scriptures, I've read this forever and ever, and you always are going to pick out new things, and it's always going to be new to you. When it's living, the living word, when you have the living word within you, which witnesses to the outer word out here, you see, then it just absolutely, it just has new dimensions every time you read it. It's going to be new. It's going to be great. And so I don't care how many times I read the scriptures, it always has some new meaning to me. And we just finished talking about the preeminence of Jesus Christ. Well, I love talking about that. And I got pretty wound up just talking about that. I started preaching. Most of the time I consider myself a teacher, not a preacher, but occasionally preaching will take over, and it always happens. It happens with preaching as well, you know. They teach as well as they preach. So I think it kind of interchanges. Let me tell you a little story. I went to Africa, into Nairobi and Kenya, Africa. And I was going to be teaching a little seminary. It was small. It was about 30, 40 people, mostly men. And I was going to be teaching. Well, I had to have an interpreter, I mean, who spoke Swahili. So, and basically, I would make a point, but you'd have to only say maybe two sentences, and then you'd have to stop, and then the interpreter would have to continue on, you know, interpret what you were saying. So, as I started out, you know, I would say, well, the Bible says, and I would say something, and then he would go, and the Bible, I mean, then he would be really animated and screaming and, you know, very animated. So, pretty soon, and you get into a rhythm when you're teaching with somebody else and somebody's interpreting what you're doing, you kind of get into the rhythm. And so the more animated he got, the more I got, and all of a sudden I'm preaching more than I'm teaching. And of course, you know, I thought it was just so funny, and I thought I'd just share that story with you all. But I'm in Colossians, like I said, and I'm just beginning to go into verse 20. Of chapter 1. Hope you have your Bibles. Hope you've been following me. You can find any of this whole teaching will be on the internet. And so you can go to spiritbroadcasting.net and you'll find this whole teaching in case you've missed some of these lessons, because they're all very powerful. I believe they are. And we believe that the Holy Spirit, you know, speaks through us. So We're just thankful. We give him all the honor. We give him the glory. We give him the praise. We're trusting the Holy Spirit to be the real teacher. I'm not the teacher. I'm only facilitating what the teacher means to bring in your heart. And like people say, when I teach, there's things that go off in people's minds as I'm teaching, because, I mean, that's really the power of teaching, is how I can minister to you, how the Holy Spirit can bring new insight inside of you, how you can apply it to yourself. That's really the power of teaching. It's not in how well I can articulate or how I might look or sound. That's not the point. The real power is in the receiver, the receiving end. And if it is bringing forth fruit, that's all that I want. I mean, that's my desire. And I know if you teach or yourself, that is your desire. That is your whole desire. So now we're going into Paul making the one point, and he had to declare that before he could go on into what the gospel is, that there's no other Lord in heaven except the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Colossians had drifted into some speculative thinking where they had thought that he was maybe a top angel or had not really come in the flesh. And of course, that ends up being great heresy and blasphemy, that if you do not say that Jesus has come in the flesh, that's the spirit of Antichrist, and certainly could have gone in that direction. But there was Paul, you know, lining them back up, bringing them back to the truth, and which was always what he did in all these letters. All of Paul's letters are only written because there's problems. So without the problems, we wouldn't have these great lessons. So we're thankful for the problems, even though they might bring, I mean, just think about in your own life. I mean, personally, I'm thankful for all the problems that I've had, and I've had plenty, because I've seen God come through, always bringing the victory, always bringing the answers. Maybe not in my timing, but being the patience in me, and the faith in me, really, even to believe that that the promises would be fulfilled. And so now we're in verse 20, and Paul is going to bring out the gospel, which is the blood and the body, death. What happened at the cross? I mean, this is the whole crowning point. This is the power of the universe. The power of the universe comes from the cross. Wow. There is no other power that can actually call itself resurrection power except from the cross. And when I talk about the cross, I'm not just talking about the wooden cross. I'm talking about what happened there at the cross, at his death, at his burial, his resurrection and ascension. That's the power of the cross. The power of his resurrection is what brings us new life. Without his resurrection, we're still dead in trespasses and sins, because anybody can die, but only the Lord Jesus Christ could be raised from the dead by the glory of his Father, raising him from the dead and seating him at the right hand of the Father, far above principality and power. That's why through him and in him, we have already overcome everything. Overcome all. There's nothing that has happened to you or will happen to you that has not already been overcome by Christ. But you have to know that you are joined to him and you are trusting wholly in him to be the overcomer. When you trust him to be the overcomer, there is not anything in your life that is too big for God. There is not anything that he cannot smooth out. It might not happen in your timing. It might not happen the way you think. And actually, I love the verse that says, delight yourself in me and I will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in me. We want the desires of our heart. We want what we want when we want it. And we're like little bratty kids. We don't have any patience whatsoever. You know, we're microwave generation. And he said, no, delight yourself in me. This is wisdom. This is Proverbs, the wisdom book. Delight yourself in me, and I'll give you the desires of your heart. So it's about delighting yourself in Jesus. It's about loving him. It's about communing with him. He's in Revelations, after the seven churches in Revelations, he's standing at the door of the churches and knocking to come back in to come to the churches, you see. And let him back in. Come back in. So we need to say, come on, Jesus, you're in my heart. And you live my life and you are my life. Now, but we're going into the depths of the gospel. Now, 1 Corinthians says this, and I love it. It says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be of no effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us that are saved, it is the power of God. So there is no other power except in the resurrection of Christ, except in the cross of Christ. So verse 20 through 23 of chapter 1 of Colossians is going to bring out what happened at the cross. And we're going to really go into it. We're going to dive into it in depth. We're not just going to skim over it and vaguely talk about it. We're going to dive in and talk about the depths of it. If you've been listening to me very long, you know that I'm not one that just hangs on the surface. I've got to go to the depths of what in the world these scriptures are saying. What is this Colossians saying? What is Paul? What is the intent of the Spirit when the Spirit wrote this through Paul? Now look at verse 20. It says, "For having made peace through the blood," now that's important, "of his cross," the blood of his cross. Now it just said, he just says in verse 14 of the same chapter of Colossians, "in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." So the blood of Jesus is important. You know, we sing songs. There's power in the blood. That's why I love those old songs, those old church songs. There's power in the blood. Wow, great saving power in the blood of Jesus. That's exactly right. We should never forget those songs that I used to sing those songs as a child, as a young believer. There's power in the blood, and cry over them. We still should, it should mean that much to us even today. "For having made peace," peace what? Having made peace through the blood of the cross. Peace, what? Peace with who? Peace with God. You will not have peace with God until you move into the fact that the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed you from all your sins, and now you're right with God because of what Jesus has done on the cross. So therefore, you will have peace with God. You see, the Bible says that you're really a vessel of wrath. You're a vessel. The human being is a vessel, and it's filled with wrath until you're reconciled back to your Father. So if you're not saved, you see, it's because if you still have wrath in you and you're still angry about everything and you have no peace, well, you haven't moved into the fact that the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed you from all your sins and reconciled you, made you right with God, made you wrong. You see, we were wrong. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're fallen beings. We're sinners until, God is holy. You cannot meet a holy God with sin. You have to be cleansed from sin. There's no way to be cleansed except by the blood of Jesus. The cleansing blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sins. "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things to himself," by him. Oh my goodness. He reconciled all things. He brought all things back to God. We were separated from God. And now the gospel is that we're unified with God again. We're in union with him. See, unless you're hearing the gospel of union, you're not understanding that through Adam, we all were separated from God the Father. And the only way that we can know God is through the unifier, and that's through the intercessor, Jesus, who reconciled us back to the Father. And he's reconciled all things to himself, all things in earth, all things in heaven. "And you and us, you and I, who were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind." That's an amazing thing. "Enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled." Wow. Reconciled now. Now hath he reconciled. Wow. Let's turn to Ephesians again. And let's look at who we were before we had Jesus. Why we needed reconciliation. Why we needed the blood of Jesus Christ. Now turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And this is going to talk first about who we were before we were saved. This is why people, even Christians, have trouble with this, I think, is because we've not been taught it. We've not been taught who we were before we were saved. And why does it mean? I mean, Colossians says we've been delivered from the powers of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. What does it mean? What powers of darkness? What darkness held me? What is this darkness that alienated me from God through my mind? It says through my mind, and we're gonna look at that too. We're gonna look at that. That's in 2 Corinthians 4. We're gonna go to that next. Look at this in verse Verse 1 of Ephesians, this is going to tell us who we were before we were saved. And you who were quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. That's who you were. You were dead. If you, before you were saved, you were lost and dead in your trespasses and sins. Oh, but verse 2. Wherein in times past we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Wow. We were living according to a spirit that lived inside of us. And we were not living according to our own selves. Our own spirit? No. And Satan wasn't just influencing us? No. He wasn't on the outside of us. He was in us. It says, the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. Who's the children of disobedience? Everybody that will not believe the truth that Christ has done the work to save you, to reconcile you back to God. That's disobedience. That's saying God's a liar if you don't believe it. You see, that's disobeying the gospel, you see. And so, but we had a spirit that worked in us. It was a satanic spirit that worked in us. And it says, among whom also we had our conversation in times past. This is how we all lived, because of that spirit that lived in us. We lived in lust. We lived in need. We lived desiring just for ourselves. We lived a self-for-self life. I want for me. I've got to have for me. I'm going to do anything to get for me. And we're addicted to ourselves. Self for self for self. Me for me for me. I'm addicted to me, and I've got to have for me, you see. It says, the desires of our flesh, the lust, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of the mind, whatever I thought, whatever my carnal fleshly mind thought I needed, that's what I thought I had to have, and I had to have it immediately. That's what lust is. I've got to have it, and I've got to have it now. By the nature of the children of wrath. Children of wrath. Okay, children of wrath. That means that wrathful spirit was living inside of us. That's the spirit of anger. That's the spirit of war. That's the spirit of I don't have enough. That's the spirit of I'm going to be angry. I might even kill you if I have to get something for myself. You see, it's what Cain did with Abel. And it's happened all the way through the scriptures. It's happened to every lost person has that same spirit within them. Me for me for me. It's a satanic spirit, fallen nature. It's the old man. It's the old satanic spirit joined to my spirit, causing me to live in the lust of my flesh and only wanting for me and desiring everything just for myself. But thanks be to God. God in his mercy has saved us. And by his grace, that Ephesians just goes on to say. But we're going to look again at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Because we're going to say, because we see in Colossians, it says, we were enemies in our mind. We were alienated from God the Father because of the wickedness and in our mind, our vain imagination. Well, let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4. It says this. It says, well, let's read verse 3. For if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Okay. Who are lost? They're children of wrath. We just said that. Children with war in them. Children with uneasy. With children that have no peace. People that have no peace. People that are angry all the time. People that are lusting for themselves all the time. People that are never satisfied. Nothing ever satisfies them. Those are lost people because they have that spirit of lust with inside of them. Spirit of wrath. Okay, in whom the God of this world, and that's, we know that Satan, has blinded the minds, has blinded our minds and caused us to have fallen minds. Because we can't even imagine good things. Our goodness is not even good when we're coming from the fallen mind. We can't even know, we don't have any discernment on what's good and what isn't good. We can dream up what we think is good, but we'll not even know what is good or what is not good because we have a fallen fleshly mind and we're totally blinded to the things of God, of which and of people that believe not in the truth, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in them and we be born again. And of course, that's what Ephesians also says, that then God in His mercy has saved us by His grace, and that's how we're saved. But we've got to know how we were saved. It was through the power of the cross, the only one power in the universe, which is the cross. And the blood of Jesus Christ has reconciled us back to the Father and has given us a new mind of the Spirit. That's why we can read the Bible and start understanding it. We've got the mind of the Spirit. Only the mind of the Spirit can understand the things of the Spirit. And the fallen mind cannot understand it. The rational mind cannot understand it. If you try to rationalize everything, so much of the Scripture is paradoxical. I mean, even Jesus Himself talked about these opposites. He says, I don't judge anything. But if I judge, my judgment will be true. I say, well, Jesus, how in the world you're saying both things? Are you speaking out of both sides of your mouth? He's saying, I don't come to judge, but if I do judge, my judgment is true. Well, what are you saying? You see, you have to have the mind of the Spirit to even understand these paradoxical truths. The truth of the Trinity. There's only one God manifest in three different Father, Son, and Holy Spirit manifested three different ways, you see. Okay, well, how and God and the Holy Spirit is a person, Jesus is a person, the Father is a person, but one person. Wow, that seems like a contradiction. How can the mind of the flesh believe that or know that? You can't. The mind of the Spirit puts it together and knows that it is the truth. You can know by the Spirit. Only the Spirit of God knows the things of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians tells us that, and they have to be spiritually discerned. So when Jesus says, I come not to judge, He was saying the same thing He said in John chapter 3 when He says, I didn't come to judge you. You're already judged. You're already condemned. In other words, I didn't come to condemn you at all. I didn't come to condemn you. You're already condemned. I came to save you. I came to be your salvation. That's what Jesus means when He says, I didn't come to judge. But then when He says, but if I judge, He's saying, when I do discern what's in you, my judgment is true because it's not coming from me. It's coming from the judgment of the Spirit within me, which is my Father's Spirit. Now that's spiritual discernment. That's how to put it together. That's how to put paradoxical truths together. You can't know that without the mind of Christ. Now through the fall, through the fall of man, we have blinded minds. We can't even see. We can't even understand the things of God. We can't even know the things of God. Only the Spirit of God can bear witness to our spirit what is the Spirit. And you know what? Romans says, only the Spirit of God can witness to my spirit that I'm even a child of God. I can't even know that until His Spirit witnesses to my spirit that I'm a child of God. Now that comes through the new mind of the Spirit. We need to get to understand the new mind of the Spirit. And we'll talk about that even more. But this verse is actually saying the blood has reconciled us back to the Father, has reconciled all things back to the Father. But let me tell you, there are people today that are saying since everything is already reconciled, then it doesn't really need to be manifested because it's already so. Well, you see, manifestation is important. Actually, unless it's not manifested yet, all things that are put under His feet. Jesus says that twice. He says it in Hebrews chapter 10, says that He's expecting till all things be put under His feet. And also in Hebrews, it also says that, yes, all things are put under His feet, but it's not seen that all things are put under His feet. Why? Because it's not manifested yet. And it's not going to be manifested in you until you take it by faith. None of these truths are going to be manifested in you until you take it by faith. And the Holy Spirit will then witness to you that it is true. And the manifestation will start coming. The manifestation of the Spirit. The manifestation of liberation. The manifestation of peace, the manifestation of the fact that I'm in union with Christ. So manifestation is important. I can't know it without manifestation. So it says in Romans 8 that the whole creation is waiting for the manifestation, for the fullness to come into the body of Christ, into those that have received Christ, those that are His, There's many that are not his, sad to say, but all that are his will come to him, and the full manifestation of the glory of God will be manifested in us, in the church, in the believers, Jew, Gentile alike, who all comes to Christ, to the Father by Christ, you see. And the full manifestation, the creation is waiting for that full manifestation. We're waiting for that full manifestation. And the Holy Spirit is in agony, groaning, waiting for the full manifestation and the final liberation of the sons of God. So we've got a lot manifested already. We just don't have the full manifested new body manifested yet. We don't have that fully manifested, that as you all can see and as you know. So, but we get a lot of quickenings along the way. That's why we get healings. We get healings because the Spirit of God quickens our mortal flesh from the inside. And I think we lay hands on people, and so much of the time we give all the people that lay hands on us the glory. We should not. We should give the glory to God, because it's the quickening spirit from within you that quickens your mortal flesh. So thank you. Now, we just talked about the blood of Jesus that cleanses us from all sins. And next time we're going to talk about how we can know we have the new nature, the divine nature within, how we can know that and how we can take that. That also is a part of the gospel. That's a part of the gospel that's hardly taught, and we're going to bring that out next time. Thank you for joining me, and may God richly bless you. Goodbye.
You have been listening to The Liberating Secret with Sylvia Pierce. We want to send a special thank you to all our supporters who make this program possible. If you have been blessed by this program and would like to contact Sylvia, you can write her at P.O. Box 43268, Louisville, Kentucky 40253. That's Post Office Box 43268, Louisville, Kentucky 40253. You can also find more of Sylvia's teachings on her website. The web address is www.theliberatingsecret.com. That's www.theliberatingsecret.com. And be sure to listen again right here, Monday through Friday at the same time, for The Liberating Secret with author and teacher Sylvia Pierce. So until next time, may God richly bless you.